G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
And the Psycho Cowboy Benny Factor.
Don't worry, just panic.
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Batto.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Wrestle Radio Australia is back. Hey everyone, it's Todd Eastman here. Guess I'm the new host. like I said on our Facebook Live, all of us had time away from wrestling or from podcasting at least, due to certain things that happen in personal lives, and I'm not going to go into what their issues were. I'll go with a little bit of mine because I think it's good to talk about stuff like that. Pretty heavy to get straight into it, but here we go. I found out I had anxiety issues, mainly due to a lot of the stuff I was doing in wrestling. Spread myself way too thin, trying to do everything for everybody, and I realised that, well, my body told me that I couldn't do that, and my blood pressure told me I couldn't do that. Had bit of the old Jim Cornette blood pressure going on there, so lost some weight, getting myself back into shape, and I'm ready to come back and do some good podcasts. Well, hopefully they're good podcasts. Boys from Drawing Heat, they shall be back soon. I'm not too sure when. I'm going to get in contact with them and find out when they're going to be hitting us with some good stuff. Always good stuff from the Boys from Drawing Heat. But until then, what I thought I'd do is I'm going to be doing the long form podcast that we have done here at WRA for the longest time. But I also thought, I've been listening to a lot of Colt Cabana's latest stuff when he travels and does his quick interviews on the weekend. And I thought I'd sort of do something like that, where it's just not long form interviews, but just sort of short interviews with guys that I like backstage, who I hang out with backstage, and who I like to get the stories out of, because that's really, when we started WRA, Wrestle Radio Australia, it was all about getting the word out on Australian wrestlers. And I hope that when we were doing it, it did help bring out Australian wrestling and help bring Australian wrestling to where it is now. And it is in somewhat of a peak when it comes to, you got guys like Adam Brooks over in, and Joey Axel, Josh Shooter, over in England, really killing it at the moment. Mark Davis also in England, killing it at the moment. You got the guys and girls signing NXT, they're killing it at the moment. You've got New Japan coming down here. You've got House of Hardcore that comes down. You've got AWF are doing a big tour with internationals. You've got the International Assault Tour, of course, packed with international guests. And not only that, but with the international guests comes the best in Australia being on those cards and more than holding their own. In most cases, they're stealing the show. And that to me is brilliant. That to me is all about what we all set about to do here in at WRA, and something I'm really proud that we did do. And something that when I was ready to come back, I realized that everyone else had gone as well. So we hadn't really done a podcast in God knows how long. And I wanted to change that. So here I am trying to change that. This episode, I focus mainly on tag teams. Two tag teams in particular. First tag team that you're going to hear from are two boys called Surf and Turf, Combat Wombat and Dolphin. They are up here in AWA in Queensland, mainly for Grindhouse. But they have travelled down to Wrestling Go. They'll talk about that on the pod. Yeah, two guys, one being Combat, is a great guy, an older dude, but an absolute veteran who knows his place in wrestling, and he doesn't want to be, not everyone can be the main eventer and then the Adam Cole baby, and he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to fill his place on the card and put across good shows and good stories and really entertain people, and I love him for that. And his partner Dolph, who is a young rookie, who is really just like finding his feet in wrestling. And it's great to see the maturation in these guys. So here we go for the first interview on the new WIRA podcast, Surf and Turf.
I'm joined here with, a veteran in more ways than one, Combat Wombat. How are you, sir?
Hurrah! Good, thanks, good.
And Dolph, how are you, mate? Now you've learned to speak.
Yeah, good.
You good? Yeah. Tell me first, with you, Combat, tell me about the origins of your character, your gimmick.
So I guess I've gone for the I'm very Australian, Aussie battler. Have been a veteran, maybe put on a little bit of weight over the years, but still like to give it 100%.
Yeah.
And
but that's your character's based on the fact that you were in the army for a while.
Yeah. So I was in the military for 8 years as a regular and 2.5 as a reservist.
Okay, you served in?
I served in East Timor in 99 and in 2001.
Sweet. Good. Thank you. So when you first, so how long have you been wrestling? Did you get out of that then start training to wrestle?
So I actually did suffer a little bit of depression, and that when I left, I had to leave the army. I sort of wanted to stay, but I couldn't, which that happens. It's unfortunate. But one of the ways of helping, the problem with when you leave, you sort of still need something.
You're still regimented.
I use wrestling as a way to sort of keep fit a little bit, and also to have a bit of fun and a bit of competition as well, just to keep the mind a bit healthier.
Yeah. And your gimmick is one it's very different to most in AWA, especially when AWA do the Grindhouse, because even though the Grindhouse shows are 18+, your character is very much skewed towards the kids, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like, right.
But it works a treat. You're one of those rare guys. And this is not meaning to be an attack on you at all, where you're not technically a really good worker, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But your gimmick is over more than a lot of guys who could work the house down.
Yeah. Well, I this is what I did in the army too. I worked out what I was good at and what I wasn't good at, and sometimes you have to take a seat back and realize, okay, I'm not going to be the greatest or the champion, mm-hmm. but you have to see realistically where you go. And I think obviously my gimmick goes, my limitation, it sort of follows the path of where I know where I can be, sort of thing.
Yeah, you've only got like 5-6 moves.
Yeah,
but that's like, you look at John Cena, has 5 moves.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what I learned very early on. And a lot of those guys like Jag and Istria, and they told me to just keep doing that because...
Yeah. Go with what works. I mean, jeez. Yeah, right. And that's what I love. That's what I love about you. I mightn't tell you that, but I love the fact that you can go to any crowd, doesn't matter what it is, be this character, and it still just gets over with fans because I think they feel that you're genuine and you're there to have fun.
Yeah, and that's
why they have fun because of that.
And that's what it's all about, I think, in the long run. When I first started, I sort of wanted to be like, I think like everyone sort of wants to be the top dog, but then I realised there's other ways of being that top dog. There's sort of different categories where you can go. Yeah, you've got your sort of lucha guys and your big heavy guys, and then you've got your comical guys.
Exactly. And there's a spot on the card for everyone.
Exactly.
If you find that spot, you never really have to worry about another kid coming up and pushing you out of that spot because you're quite happy being the comedy guy. And if it gets over and the crowd love it.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And I like just to help other guys up and coming, and I don't have a problem if they go past me or whatever, because I'm there helping them to move forward. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, I'm a lot older than a lot of these guys now. And
Preach.
Yeah,
I know.
And sometimes you have to be able to be humble enough to. Sometimes you have to stand back. I mean, I used to be, when I was in the army, I was very fit, but things change and you can't keep up with them much anymore like you used to. But you
but
still
you're
have a.
You're smarter
though. You are. You definitely are. Yeah. And I think you can help in more ways than just the physical side of it.
So as for you, I nearly went and called you by your shoot name.
Good one.
Yeah. As for you, Dolph, you're very much a rookie in the terms of like ring time, because you've only been, what, a year and a half, maybe?
As Dolph, it's coming on 2 years.
2 years.
About year and a half, yeah, yeah. You're right. But then like training-wise, I've been about coming on 3 years. And then, you know, so I've been going for a while.
I'll ask you this like straight out, and you can... did they give you the Dolph gimmick, or was it...
Yeah, so I got a call late at night, because when I was still there...
what Jesse does.
I was still in school at the time, so trying to get sleep for school, and next minute I've got Jesse ringing me, and he's going, Dolph Ziggler? I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. You know, Finn Bella? Oh, yeah, duh. Dolphin. And I swear to you not, I was laughing for about 5 minutes straight. Then he told me that no, he was serious, and the plans that he had to run with it. And, you know, I was keen to get in the ring and show that I'm not just your typical rookie. I can go. So, you know, we got all the designs done up for the gear. And then we just went with it, and it just took off real quick.
Mm. I know. At the start, fans were quite harsh on you.
Yeah.
And quite... But you've sort of... I've noticed in the last 6 months, you sort of like, you've worn them down and sort of won them over.
Sorry, boys.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Rip, say hi to everyone.
Oh, hello.
That's a group.
Where were we?
Them being harsh.
Being harsh and that. Especially with that grindhouse crowd can be brutal at times.
Oh, yeah, no. A lot of fish and chip jokes.
Yeah. But now, can you feel the crowd turning now? Where the... They were not just like trying to tell you to die. Now that they're sort of they're playing into the character a bit more.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. About 6 months ago, I could really start to feel the shift, and it was, you know, back when we first formed Surf and Turf. Like, we weren't planning on forming Surf and Turf. It was literally, I went to the announcer and said, "Call Surf and Turf," and that's how it took off. That was a year ago to this day, actually, and so it's pretty cool. And then, you know, they were still real harsh. You know, there was Wombat and Dolph's just there. And then, I just put more effort in, tried to do the fancier stuff, you know, be the wrestler of the group, and see where that took me. Yeah. And it's just really started to turn and work in the favour, which is what I want.
But you're also learning sort of the way to work comedy as well.
Yeah, I'm doing the wrestler, I'm doing the comedy, doing the luchador stuff. I'm just trying to get that all-rounder and just help boost Surf and Turf, really.
Yeah. And it must be working to some extent, because you've been getting other states.
Yeah, we had Wrestling Go.
Wrestling Go, the other... who'd you face down there?
The current PWA and Wrestling Go champions and Unsocial Jordan and Snapchat.
Oh, okay. SMS. Yep.
So that was pretty cool. Like, and the match went really smooth, and, you know, it definitely hit home that we're not just these comedy guys, that we can go with the best in Australia. And that's what I'm here to prove, and, you know, try and get gold and prove that just because we wear masks and we do comedy stuff doesn't mean we can't go and can't win.
Mm. With you, Combat, did you find it was different to work those crowds? Because basically everyone up here knows who you are, and you're like beloved amongst that crowd. So down there, I guess, when you came out, you have to sort of prove yourself all over again? Or?
Yeah, you do a bit. I found it there. They weren't too bad. I've been to South Australia, and that was a little bit tougher.
Which one was that one?
Oh, I did one at Snake Pit, and okay. I've also done one for Rampage down there.
All right.
Yeah, and they see this guy with fur on his butt come running out. They're not real sure how to take that down there. And,
well, even like I won't say talent swap, but when I was working in RCW, we did a inter-promotional matches. Like, we had Damien Slater come over and work Cree, and that's when I was managing Chris. And then we went over and worked Damien Slater for Rampage. And because in Adelaide, well, in RCW anyway, Cree is like beloved. Even though he was a heel at the time, we were like likable heels.
Kevin Owens,
yeah. Yeah, we were likable heels. But we walked out at Rampage, and I'll never forget it. Cree took about 3 or 4 steps, and this woman leans over the railing and goes, "I don't know who the fuck you are," like that. And I've looked at Cree and just gone, "This is gonna be a rough night, bro."
Yeah, mate. yeah, I got a little bit of abuse to start with when I ran out. You know, what's wrong with you with fur on your butt and all that sort of stuff. But I think eventually they sort of realised where I was coming from. But that was for a rumble, so that was, and snake pit, that was a different experience as well.
Yeah. All right, boys. Have you got social medias in your gimmick characters?
We just got the one, really. And
the Facebook page?
That's just my page, yeah. And the Instagram as well, at Dolphin Wrestling.
Okay. You haven't got a Surf and Turf page?
No, I haven't.
Get on it.
No.
You got merch now. You got to get on it so you can sell the merch.
Yeah, you got to try and get on it. And yeah, I'm just trying to push the brand. And, you know, like I said, like, we're here for gold as well. Like, we're not here just to be comedy. We're here to, like, prove that we can go.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I mean, you're very early in your career.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's it. Like,
you got a while to go. I'm not saying you got a while to go before you, but you've got a lot of time to learn. And you really should, like, you're working with a guy like Combat.
Yeah, it's great.
This is just, like, a dude you can just learn from.
Yeah, like, I can honestly say with the year that I've had, it's probably been the biggest amount of growth in Dolphin, and his wrestling and his character, because I've had the help of Wombat and I've seen him go so hardcore, I can't really be sitting back and being lazy with the character. I've got to go just as hard as he can to really build it. And, it's a commendment to be able to, like Wombat said, he's going to help the young guys come up. And I can say I've learned so much with character basing from Wombat. It's awesome.
Cool. All right, Combat, Dolph. Surf and Turf, get around the boys. Look Dolph up on Facebook. They'll get off their asses and make a Surf and Turf page now, won't you?
Yes, I would love it. Right. It'll be there.
All right, thank you, boys.
No worries.
Have a good one.
Yes, thank you, Dolph and Combat, for sitting down and talking to me. Really interesting story, especially when it comes to Combat. And I might even sit down with him at a later date for more of a full-on conversation about him, because he has really had an interesting journey in the world, not only in the world of professional wrestling, but in the world in general. Next up, I sat down with arguably Queensland's best tag team at the moment. They are, of course, Headstrong, JL and Xander. Dudes that have really, in I think a year and a half, have really worked their way together and worked their teamwork out and as a unit to be the best in Queensland. And hopefully, if they're given the chance to prove they're one of the best in the country. So, without any further ado, even. Xander and Gold.
Here with the Headstrong boys. Yes. Xander Sullivan, JL Gold, how are you, lads?
Boys. Good. Thank you for having us.
We're good.
So, how long have you guys been teaming now for? Nearly a year and a half?
Getting close.
Yeah.
We had our first match on the 20th of January 2017, so it's about 1 year and 4 months.
Yeah. Well, no, it was January. It's like nearly 1 year five. No, it's in May.
Yeah. It feels like a lot longer, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, how different are you from cracking my knuckles right now? How do you find it a lot easier now that you're working together, or has it sort of stayed the same way the whole way through?
It's definitely had, like, its moments. Like, at the start, I think, coming from both single, you know, wrestling background, we both had different mindsets, but like the more we teamed, the more we gelled, and like we both always had, like, I don't know, I said like different mindsets, but we still had, like, I guess similar mindsets in the fact of like, oh well, we actually both want to make this work. And then eventually we just learned to like mold each other's like styles into each other's,
and as we spend more time together, we, you know, realize what worked and what didn't. And being able to have that understanding meant that we could go out there with pretty much anybody, give the crowd something that they can be invested in.
Yeah, I think what's different with you guys and a lot of other like teams that I've seen form in Queensland is that you guys actually are trying to make it work. Do you know what I mean? You actually want to, Beth. You want to grow it. You're doing the whole merch thing. You're like, you're up to, what, second or third type of shirt. So you're sort of like, you're working your way through. And it's sort of evolving, like the first ones were the cartoon characters. Now you've moved into more of I don't want to say serious, but more of a shirt where everyone can wear.
Something with greater mainstream appeal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. And like,
Like me personally, I've always been like a big believer in like, self-branding. So like ever since we sort of started this, I knew we had to like
sort of brand ourselves in a way where we could like appeal to like whoever, like whatever market we were like wrestling for, basically. Like, a big fan of like superheroes, so that's when like I was like, oh, this superhero logo would be pretty cool. Like Marvel movies are pretty huge, and DC to an extent.
Sorry. I think Gold's absolutely right. And the thing is that we both try to be very, very social media conscious.
Yeah.
And Gold obviously is doing excellently with his Gold Fitness Wear line of clothing. And like we have our assortment of our sort of like Headstrong related shirts, but the thing is that we never sort of really stop. We never sort of like get complacent and think, this is going pretty well. We're always trying new things. We're always looking for like the next step.
Yeah, that's what you have to do in a fight. And then the fact is now that other feds around the country are sort of noticing that and are booking you. Like I've seen you at Wrestling Go.
Mm.
I know you worked Riot City. Tasmanian
TCW.
And they were each like all completely unique and very sort of like educational experiences. Like for one thing, it really opened our eyes to the fact that it's great because it allows us to practice different formulae, because what works, we don't wrestle the same way here in Queensland as we did for Wrestling Go, as we did at Riot City, and indeed as we did
In Riot City you were heels
indeed. So. Yeah.
Hated,
indeed.
So how do you find that working? Because you primarily worked as a face tag team.
Yeah.
Pretty much everywhere except for Riot City. How did you find that change? Because I remember when I sort of or helped connect you guys with Riot City, they sort of asked me.
Plot twist: Headstrong are actually next level sleeper agents.
They actually asked me what you do and all that stuff, and I said, look, like they primarily work as faces. I don't know if that'll work with you guys, but this is what they're comfortable in.
I think it was really fun because like we got a chance to step out of our normal bubble,
out of your comfort zone,
and completely just be like just idiots, just like in front of like a crowd that we don't know. So we just kind of ran with it.
Because I'm a big believer in the idea that it's much easier to be hated on first impression than it is to be liked. Yeah. trust me, I know. The amount of people backstage who think I'm a pain in the ass is quite large. But no, I think that what the experience in Riot City actually gave us was, like, Gold and I are both very big buffs on classic tag team wrestling. A lot of the stuff that we've used in the past to great success are things from like the Rock and Roll Express, the old Southern Boys matches and things like that. Being able to work heel allows us to dip into the sort of more Midnight Express playbook, the Tully and Arn, that sort of thing, allow us to show a different side of what good tag team wrestling can be.
So you just tonight you dropped the AWA Tag Team Championships. How does it feel like getting? You've been given the belts in like here in AWA and also at Venom Pro Wrestling. Does it weigh on you at all? A lot of the times when you realize you sort of have to carry the tag team division in like a no.
Sorry,
I've got Dolphin give me the stink eye, which is really hard. But it's true though. If you're the champion, then you're the sort of like the standard bearer of that company. And to have multiple companies do that is obviously they've recognized your work, and they recognize that you can pull good matches out of various tag teams, especially tag teams that aren't together a hell of a lot. Like you guys primarily work every match is a tag match.
Yeah.
So you work a lot together. With a lot of other guys, they might be tag team here, but in IPW they don't tag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So have you found that there's not pressure, but an expectation?
I mean, me personally, like I don't feel massive pressure, but like being like a champion, you do sort of have to hold like every match you have to a certain standard because you're being looked at as like a higher standard, being like the champion of that company.
Yeah.
And I think like the best thing about us like firstly becoming like the AWA Tag Team Champions is like the build to like the story we were telling, like building to that, and like we're actually able to sink our teeth into like something that we could produce and give the crowd something that they really could get invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best part of like probably last year, because that's how like we were like sort of like getting over as a face team, because mm-hmm. we had a, you know, a good heel dynamic team to verse, and then it gave us a good story to develop our characters and just grow from there.
So do you see this still as something you want to keep doing for the long term for now, or is it one of those things where you kind of, you're starting to get the itch to do more singles, or?
No, I mean, like, obviously it's great to, you know, go out there and do, get some more singles experience, like look at tonight, Gold Lane calling his shot to take on Showtime Jake Nova for the AWA Heavyweight Championship next show.
Potato and thug.
So
a busted eye now.
Yeah, he can't win if he's blind. But no, I think one of the things that I really strongly believe is that being the, I guess, the standard bearers for tag team wrestling in Queensland, and considering that in Australia, there are a lot of, you know, really great tag teams, but sort of not, there aren't as, I guess the best way of saying it is that there are a lot of great wrestlers in Australia, but numerically, there are far fewer legitimate, dedicated tag teams
yep.
in Australia, and indeed, in the world, than there are, you know, singles wrestlers. There has to be. So I think us working as a team, it not only maximizes my strengths, maximizes each other's strengths. Like, I will be the first to admit that Gold is a better wrestler than I am. And, you know, I think that a lot of the whole, you know, thing that works with Headstrong is the fact that I'm able to get the crowd to really care about us by pulling that, you know, that Ricky Morton kind of dynamic in the way we structure matches.
Just admit, take all the heat.
Yeah.
And let Gold do all the easy stuff.
Exactly. No, but I think the fact that we're complementary to each other and the fact that we can fill a niche in Queensland wrestling and indeed in Australian wrestling really is good for us.
Yeah.
And I think it will continue to be good for us.
And that's something when you were first put together, I said this is something that could really work for you if you want to work it, and you really have. So.
And I have an enormous amount of gratitude to Gold himself, because my wrestling has, and indeed my... I'm kidding. I obviously have much gratitude to you, Todd, for helping bring us together. But no, I actually have an enormous amount of respect and gratitude towards Gold, because my understanding of wrestling and of wrestling psychology has come leaps and bounds since being a tag team and being a part of Headstrong. So thanks, Gold.
That's all right. No worries. Anytime.
All right, guys. Well, it's been good catching up with you. Do you want to throw out your social media so people can...
Yeah, of course.
Sure. My Instagram is it's Xander Dude.
Yeah. Never get over that. That literally came from like a meme.
Yeah.
We just made, like, because he always like used to, like,
dude,
at our old place, he'd answer the doorbell and just say, hey, Xander Dude.
No, I would say, dude, it's Xander Dude. And then it just sort of like took off.
Yeah.
But no, it's funny. And what are your various social media accounts, Gold?
Well, I'm on Instagram, JL is Gold, Twitter, JL is Gold, and Facebook.com/JL is Gold.
And Headstrong?
Yeah, the head, the
Headstrong brand.
Headstrong brand for the Instagram. But no, thank you so much for having
thank
us
you.
Tonight, Todd.
That's get awesome. On to them and follow them, and yeah, it's good talking to you, boys. Thank
absolutely,
you.
Man. Anytime.
Yes, Gold and Xander, two of my wrestling sons. Thanks a lot for sitting down and talking with me, lads. I cannot wait to see where these two guys' careers go, because if they stick together and they keep going the way they're going, they're going to have really bright futures in the world of professional wrestling. That'll do it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. What I'm going to try and do is when I'm at shows, when I'm working shows, or even if I just go along to a show, I might try and do little things like this where I can grab guys and spend 10 minutes with them or so, and just get people out there and get people to know them. So might not be all the marquee guys that you've heard of before, but that's not what we're about. We're about trying to bring the the young up-and-coming professional wrestlers and, yeah, get everyone to know them so they can get around them. Jeez, I haven't wrapped one of these up in ages. It's always been Armour's job. I guess follow us on Facebook, Wrestle Radio Australia, look us up. If you are listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, review. Helps us get outside there and get some more people and get out there and really try and bring us back to where we were. God, I hope people are listening to this. Who knows? But to take us out, I thought I'd try something different. I love stupid old wrestling, anything to do with wrestling. So if I can find songs to do with wrestling and stuff like that, I love listening to them. So to end the show, I'm gonna try and find a song every week. And this one is if you've got a loved one there, get a glass of wine, sit back, relax, and listen to the mellow sounds of the Funker himself, Terry Funk, with Roppongi. And we'll see you next time, right here, where the action is, on Wrestle Radio Australia. Bye.